somebody on the internet the other day, you know, when it was the point of the Olympics where we'd won practically nothing and were panicking for a minute, somebody adjusted the medal table to include all the countries we used to own in our in our total, and we were winning, so it was fine.
So shall we? Shall we do a podcast? Then?
Yeah, okay.
Probably, it's probably best.
The Webcomics Company Podcast. Visit www.webcomics.co.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Webcomics Company podcast. I'm here with three very talented individuals. First, we have Luke Healy. Luke, what's your website?
My website's lukew.com. Hello.
Luke, I have Luke Searle. Luke, what's your website?
Hello, my website is lukesearle.com, spelt like it's lukesurl.com.
And then we have the person who is not Luke, we have Zoe. Zoe Kirk-Robinson, what's your website?
It's at zoerobinson.com.
And as mostly usual, definitely not always, I'm Matt Dyson, and my website is at matthasawebsite.com. So, hello everybody. Did you like the way that I sidestepped getting everybody's website wrong?
Well done. I do love your website, Matt has a website.
My email address is matt@mattsemailaddress.com.
Oh,
nice. You bought the domain mattsemailaddress.com just so you could do that.
Emailaddress.com just for an email address, yes.
I see.
I was getting to a point where I wanted some new banners for conventions and stuff, and I thought, you know what, I need a better website because I want to eventually start doing other comics apart from Moo and Kia. I do have some other comics apart from Moo and Kia in the works. So just putting mookio.com on my banners isn't very
forward-thinking, yeah.
So I thought, right, I need a central website, and I've always used kiozen.com because that's the name I've always gone by on the internet, but it breaks that marketing rule where you've got to have something that you can tell somebody verbally and they'll automatically know how to spell it.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, how the hell do you spell that? Is it C? Is it K? So I decided, well, let's go simple. matthasawebsite.com.
See, that's one of the things that I was thinking when I started collating everything on zoerobinson.com instead of having all the different websites.
Yeah.
So the sites are still there, and I'll keep the domains, but the central one is now just my name.
Yeah, it's exactly the same here. Everything just links. Matt has a website, just links back out to everything I do.
Mm.
As well as having things like, you know, what cons I'm going to be at in the next few months and things like that.
That's a great idea.
Con photo galleries up there shortly as well. Anyway, that's all the chit chat around. It's very obvious when we've not spoken to each other for a week or so, because rather than get into a podcast, we all want to chat and natter about things. We'll have to do that after the record, but let's get down to business, boys and girls. Today's topic is the topic that is never discussed, the topic that seems to be taboo, but it's the topic that you always want to talk about when getting into the comic game, but
what
nobody else.
Is this all the orgies that go on after the convention,
Was on your hotel room afterwards, sorry. This is money! We're talking about money, the vile, vile thing that is money. Specifically, we're going to talk about revenue streams today. I'm going to go down a list I've made that's by no means exhaustive. I'm sure there are things that I've missed off, but that's for you guys to tell us if you think we've missed something off. But we'll do our best to cover as much as we can between the four of us here today. And then we're going to just discuss on these topics what's worked for us, what we've seen work for other people, and what we've seen that doesn't work, or that we just think is plain immoral, or whatever like that. So Luke, no standing at the end of the corner, you know, touting your stuff. It's conventions or web or bookstores or nothing. Sorry.
Am I still allowed to basically just mug people at comics conventions and then just throw a few badges at them? No, is that still allowed?
They put it in the rules that we're not allowed to anymore.
No, you're allowed if they're wearing costumes from animes. Anime people are fair game.
Kind of. They're allowed to... No, the actual rule is you're only allowed if they're carrying a free hugs sign.
Oh, yeah. That should read free money. That's how it should go.
Free hugs, before I get hate mail, is one of those things that came as an internet craze a few years ago. Everybody loved it because it's great. Yay, let's spread the joy and give everybody else free hugs. But it got really old really quickly when everybody did it. And it's not a nice thing when people force it on you on conventions and go up to you going, free hugs! No, I'm okay, thank you. But why are you so mean? I just don't want you touching me.
It is. I find it kind of creepy.
I do a little bit. I usually go, I did the last MCM. I went around holding a sign that said free shrugs. I just shrug in people's directions. Anyway, shall we get started then? I've split everything down into essentially three categories with a little bit of overlap here and there. The categories that I've got is print, digital, and you'll love how creative this is, other.
That's so helpful in terms of categorization.
Now, I thought we'd start...
You've got category A and then miscellaneous.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that anyway. But anyway, if we start with print, there's the really, really obvious one that will tick all off our list straight away, which is books. Printing books and selling books is a really good way of getting your stuff out there and making money. So who out of all of us here sells books? I know I do.
I
don't we all?
I don't have any books.
Yeah. I thought you had some books.
Oh, ages ago. I'd given up on that madness. I got out of that game. So just currently at the moment I don't have anything. But I think that just maybe before we get into like the minutia, maybe like the two ways I guess to make money off comics are be hired to make comics or sell stuff to people. So in this episode I imagine we're probably going to be concentrating more on the sales to people. That seems more sort of indie.
We are going to talk briefly on employment at the end.
Okay, cool. I think
that falls into other.
Into other. To be actually paid to do it.
Luke, don't skip ahead. Matt has a perfect system for this episode.
I'm so sorry.
If we disrupt it, the entire thing will fall apart.
I'm going to tell my therapist about you.
So, I don't sell books. Continue.
I know a lot of people, books tends to make up the big bulk of the money that they bring in through various things. Some people, it doesn't, obviously, but for instance, for myself, it does. The big portion of the money that I make from Moon Keel at the moment is through selling the collected storylines at conventions.
It is almost a necessity by definition, because if you're not selling books, then you're not a comic book artist, you're an illustrator, basically. You could have your story on the web and then just sell merchandise, which is illustrative, but generally your primary thing that you're producing is a comic, and I could sell my comic as a series of postcards, but most people, the only way of actually getting the story across is to put through a book. So it is almost a default by definition.
It's really like the most basic move to make. You make a comic and then you sell it to people.
Yeah,
it's like the purest expression of cartooning as a trade.
Well, not just that, but if you're not producing a book of your work, you're not using the work that you've got. You're making all of that stuff. You're putting it on the internet or perhaps putting it into a comic and printing it as individual issues. And then what's the art doing? It's just sitting there. You might as well keep using it.
That's basically how I got my first book printed. I mean, I'd booked myself into my first ever convention and I was a bit, as everybody tends to be at that stage, a bit naive at that day. My initial plan was to go to the convention with a load of flyers and sit on my table and go there for publicity, which is, as many people will tell you now, and a lot of people who are new and listening will be telling, no, you're talking bull, is the worst idea that you could ever have. Conventions are absolutely useless for self-promotion if all you actually care about is getting hits. The amount of money you'll spend to get to a convention, you will be much better served chucking that money onto a Project Wonderful campaign than you ever would be going to a convention handing out flyers.
Oh, definitely.
So that was my initial plan, but then I thought, oh, well, I've got a week and a half, and I've got a full storyline finished at the moment. Let's try and get that printed in some way into a small little book. I printed it myself, bound it myself, and ended up selling those and doing all right with them. And that's what kind of got me started. It tends to be the first thing that people think about, obviously, because it's the easiest thing to do, as I mentioned, because it's using your stuff.
It is worth thinking about with books is how you print them and the expense of printing them, mm-hmm. because there is a huge variety in what you can pay, and if you just go to the first thing that you see, you could end up paying considerably more than you need to. Also, if you do what I did when I and leave it far too late and basically be left with lulu.com or nobody in terms of the speed at which they can get it through, you end up paying a lot more for printing than you need to. We could do an entire podcast about printing.
We probably should do an entire podcast about printing at some point.
It's a good idea. I'll make a note of that.
I was about to launch into my mantra on when you're starting out, print it yourself. It's, you know, the quality isn't the same, but you've got to start out somewhere, and that's how I did it, and you know, I've never looked back, but that's probably a big huge conversation for another podcast.
I think we've already had that conversation.
Yeah, we probably have many a time. I like ranting, you know, I like ranting, so I'll rant about that another time. But that kind of leads you on anyway. When you start selling books, it tends to lead you on to other things, and that's my next thing on the list. I started listing individual bits of other things you can do, like, you know, key rings and t-shirts and this and the other, and then I thought that the list could go on and on and on, because I've seen so very many different products from so many different cartoonists and artists out there that if we started listing them, we'd be going on forever. So I put it down as one article, and we have merch. Basically, merchandise that isn't books.
I am just going to say right at the top here that I hate the notion of merch. I hate it as a thing. I understand that it's a big revenue stream for probably most cartoonists, independent cartoonists who are doing it, but goddamn, I mean, how useless is, like, I mean, maybe some people enjoy wearing t-shirts that have, like, a thing on it, it's like, oh, referencing that cartoon, or they like to have a key ring that's like the cartoon character. I think that all that stuff, I just really hate it in my life. I try not to have any of it. It just takes up space. It's so pointless.
So says the guy who sold me a t-shirt.
Yeah, I know, right? Had to get it out of my house some way.
Don't agree with your ethics. Need your money.
I think that there are different ways. There are different ways this can work. And if you are big enough, good enough, you can have a t-shirt with your character or your logo on it, and simply by wearing that t-shirt, people will be able to say, "Hey, look, I'm a Matt Dyson fan. I am part of that
who
club."
Do that?
You do need to, however, be fairly big to be able for that to really work.
Yeah.
The other thing is you can produce something that is quite witty, quite funny. I think I mentioned him every week, and this is going to be no exception. John Allison put a post up on his blog the other day about what,
love you, John,
in his experience, which t-shirts sell and which don't. I think the basic underlying thing there is it's t-shirts which say something about the wearer, which actually relates to the first point. The other thing is some merch, like some of the stuff I have is small badges and postcards, which are a way of sort of selling a small joke. And also I think it is for some people who'd like to support the comic, maybe at a table, but don't want to commit to buying an entire book. I think one of the things that I'm going to bring up in this point is that sometimes what we are doing is receiving a certain degree of charity. If you're doing a sort of a web comic, which you're giving away for free, there is, this will come up when we do donations, but there is an impulse for some people to want to give you money. Even not really withstanding what they get in return, or they just want a token of return. And
that most of the time seems to be what my 50p button badges are for. I get a lot of people that buy them because they like cute badges, but by and large, I get the impression that sometimes that people are buying them because it's like, I really like your stuff, and I like what you're doing, I want to support it, but I can't necessarily stretch to an £8 book, and I don't really want a birthday card. So that's what tends to happen. And I completely agree with you.
As a person who reads webcomics, I definitely agree with that as well, just from my own spending habits. Like, I know that if a creator, say I've been, oh, let me think of an example. Okay, so like, Gunnacrig Court. I read Gunnacrig Court, great comic. He gives it away for free, 3 pages a week. I really, really enjoy reading it. When he puts out a new book, I'm going to buy that book in order to be like, yeah, thank you for giving me all this stuff for free. And I'll probably read it, but I may not even read it. Or like a collection, like recently I, especially on stuff like Kickstarter, so a cartoonist who I like is Ryan Armand. He put up a Kickstarter that was a collection of 3 short stories that he'd done, which I really liked, but I didn't, you know, I bought it, but I, you know, I didn't really buy it for the book. All the stories are online. I bought it to say, thanks for giving them to me for free, you know?
There's with that impulse, it is kind of a weird thing for me, because to a certain degree, I might be able to tap into that. I have probably tapped into that, and I can do it more. I think it's, in my real life, I'm a reasonably well-off person. I'm not a charity case. I have a job. It pays okay. I live in Norwich, which is one of the cheapest cities in the country to live in.
Trump you with Bradford.
And so it does feel slightly weird tapping into tapping into that. I don't really have an answer here. I just have sort of a question. When sometimes I feel like people are buying, I don't want people to buy things just out of sort of pity for the poor cartoonist, because I
think pity is the wrong word, though. It's more like a show of support.
Yeah.
Like a show of appreciation. That's how I feel when I purchase stuff anyway.
Yeah. It's like one of the same reasons why I sometimes put adverts on websites that have nothing to do with my comic. If they're doing Project Wonderful and I like what they're doing, I'll put an advert up there because it gets them a little bit of cash. It ups their revenue income, and it's not getting me anything because people don't click on them. But it's a way of saying, hey, thanks for giving me something I enjoy.
Mm-hmm. So, that leads us on to, the next 2 items are kind of linked. We're crossing the gap between print and digital here, but...
Are you sure that's wise?
I know, it's like, don't cross the streams, but we'll be alright. It's cool, it's fine. I have a cup of tea, everything's okay. We basically have 2 entries on my list here, which is one is sketches and the other one is commissions. Now, I've separated those out separately, as I fully think that sketches, such as the ones that you do at conventions, and maybe as value adds onto other things like sketches in books, are separate from commissions.
Oh, I totally agree.
Why do you say that?
To me, a sketch is something that I will spend a few minutes on, and a commission is something that I will spend an actual deal of, you know, a decent amount of time on.
Yeah, I'm the same. If people were to come up to me and say, I like your stuff, could I have a sketch? I'll do a couple of minutes worth of drawing for them. There you go. But if someone says, I like what you do, can I commission you to do a picture? Then I'm probably going to charge for that because it's going to take a lot of time.
Yeah, sketches are sketches. A commission is a piece of artwork.
Yeah.
And I think that's where I draw the line in my head. I know a lot of people have different views on what it is. But the reason I put Sketchers down is that a lot of people charge for Sketchers at conventions. Now, I both do and don't agree with it, depending upon who it is and what they're doing. But I wanted to put it out there and see what you guys thought of that.
Can I just share the coolest convention sketch story I know?
Yeah, of course, okay. Go for it.
Well, you know Rob, you know.
Mm. Of course I know Rob.
Did you know that he once had somebody come up to him and say, hey, can I get a sketch of this character doing this? Mm. And he's like, oh, okay, I'll draw that. And he got some money for it. And then a couple of hours later, the guy came back with that image tattooed.
Oh my god.
Which I think is amazing.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I now know two of my close cartoonist friends I know who have had their work tattooed.
Oh my human being.
That's so insane.
As far as I'm aware, somebody has one of Lem's bunnies tattooed on them as well, as far as I'm aware.
Okay, we'll link to Rob and Lem in the show notes.
Yeah, definitely do.
Sorry, that doesn't really add much to the discussion, but I think it's cool.
Yeah, it adds awesome to the conversation.
Could you send me the name? Because I don't know how you spell it.
That's what we're fine with.
Rob Curtin and Lem.
Lem Lemington. I'll send you the links, don't worry.
And in terms of sketches, I'm quite wary of doing sketch. I do sort of say that I have it written down on some of my stall at conventions that I would do a sketch. I don't leap to do it because I'm frankly not that good at it. Partly I am a better writer than I am drawer, and also generally my drawing, a lot of it is done on a computer, which I can't do. Matt, you've actually worked on your con sketches.
I have, yeah. I took the advice of... Actually, it's the advice I heard from Scott Kurtz once upon a time, that one of the best things you can do is to get 3 or 4 basic sketches that look all right, you know, that look good, that are a good representation of your work or one of your characters, and practice the hell out of them.
Just photocopy them and hand them out and say, here you go. Oh, yeah.
And get a stamp made up and a big ink pad.
No. Yeah, just like wave your pen around, distract them, and then hit
stamp.
I
do have a stamp as well, but that's a completely different story. Basically, get 3 or 4 sketches that you can rattle off in under 2 minutes. And the more you do them, the faster you'll get at them and the better they'll look as well, which I found, which is really nice. And I tend to do those 4 sketches in pretty much every single book I sell, you know, person to person anyway. When I have books online, I actually do charge a little bit extra online to have a signed in copy. I call it an artist's edition. Hmm. But at a convention, it's free. So I like to incentivize people to get out to conventions to see me, because not only will they see me, but they'll see other people as well. And it's a nice way to incentivize engagement with the audience.
Yeah, both in the sort of a live sense in a convention, or through a more remote sense through the web. Having if you're sending some physical material, having a little sketch on it. I like it when I buy something.
Yeah, it is nice.
It makes me feel
it's
personal.
Nice to be able to have this little kid who's looked at your book and whose eyes have lit up because they see, you know, cute little characters that they really, really like and want to read the book. It's nice to just look at them and say, would you like me to do a little sketch in that for you? And then just to see how happy that makes them when I do a little doodle and colour it in for them and just hand that over, then it's awesome. And it's that extra value add that will turn somebody who buys your book into a customer, mm-hmm. into a repeat customer.
And it's one of the things that as indie comics that we can do that basically you don't get if you go into your comic store and buy the latest.
Yeah, it doesn't cost us anything Superman. To do. And at the end of the day, it builds. Yeah, I think I've had it a lot of the time sometimes as well, where I've been sat there doing a sketch for somebody, and somebody will have been come to the table that might have just walked past normally, have seen me sketching for somebody, so it'll make them stop and look at sketches a little bit more. And my phone's ringing, so talk between yourselves.
Well, With regards to sketches, there's something that you mentioned earlier that you do and you do not like the idea of people charging for them. I can see where people are coming from when they do charge, because personally, I wouldn't. If it was a convention and there weren't many people around and people wanted a sketch, I'd just do it. But I know that there's a lot of artists who are there to at the convention because they've been told to turn up by maybe Marvel, DC, whoever. And their only reason to be at the convention is basically for sketches and doing promo work. So they've got nothing else to sell at this convention. So I can see why they were charged for their time. It is their time and that they could have otherwise been at home doing some work. So I can understand that. But from my point of view, I don't have that. My time isn't that valuable. So I would be quite happy to just do a quick sketch if people brought a sketch pad past or something like that.
I think it's a lot more acceptable as well when you've got people whose art style is quite detailed. Basically, it's a time thing. It's a case of, in my head, if it's a busy time at the convention, and if while I'm going to be doing that sketch, then 3 or 4, 5 or 6 potential customers that I would have made money from otherwise are going to walk past because I'm not engaging with them, then I'm going to start thinking about charging for my time.
I suppose I have the advantage in that because I have a writing partner. So when I eventually do come back to doing conventions, she'll be there at the table with me. So I wouldn't have that problem. So
yeah, that's why it's great when Chloe's with me at a convention, because she can essentially, you know, sell things while I'm doodling and doing my bit.
Yeah, I have to admit, the thing you mentioned about people being attracted to the table or not wanting to walk past rather and actually hanging around because you're doing sketches, I've seen that happen with myself. Last time I was at a book signing with Jen, I got bored and started drawing pictures. And the amount of people that came to the table to look at the pictures rather than the book was amazing.
No, it's a good draw. And that does, as I say, bring us nicely into commissions, which I do think is that added extra on top of that. It's people who want actual pieces of art from you.
Yeah.
Now, I've said that this straddles the digital and the print because, essentially, not everybody wants a print copy, the actual original copy of their commission, and not everybody will always get the chance to, because a lot of us work digitally. So commissions is another great way to make money, and I think this is the second one that is the primary source of income for a lot of people. It's not for myself, but it is the primary source of income for a lot of people. I know a couple of people that do it extensively on the internet. A lot of people who have things, who have Tumblrs and DeviantArts tend to do a lot of commissions.
Yeah.
People on those websites, I read an article quite recently actually about how sort of massively people undercharge for their time. If you looked up whatever the union is, like the Illustrators Union or something, you'd find that you're charging out like 5% of what is sort of the industry accepted minimum. And, so people end up doing like a massive volume of commissions for pretty much no money.
The thing is, with places like that, you've got a hell of a lot of artists in one place, so it's not industry standard. It's not an industry standard situation. It's supply and demand.
I know.
If you don't do it for that price, somebody else will do, because there are thousands of artists on there that aren't making any money.
But that's my point, is, don't try and make your money off DeviantArt.
Oh, yeah.
It's a bad strategy.
There's lots to talk about. If you're taking on a commission, whether to set an hourly rate or whether to decide on a sum beforehand, I've heard horror stories from people who've done very big commissions and didn't get paid, or the people say, "We'll pay you a bit less than we thought we could," and things. So it is a big minefield, and there's lots of stuff online to read about it. You'd probably be better off than listening to me about these things.
There's a website where you can go and you register your unpaid freelance bill, and it's totaled them all up. It's something like, you know, like $200 million of unpaid freelance bills so far this year. You know,
oh,
it's
I
like
saw insane. That. Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah,
people lose a lot of money by not being careful.
Also, remember, sorry. Should I work for free.com? Where the answer is basically no.
Mm-hmm.
Unless
is it your mum? No, then no. No, you should not work for free.
I mean, free. Come on, guys. Even the Joker knew this one. If you're good at something, don't do it for free.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. I think that is too simplified, but that's probably a whole other episode as well.
When you've paid me my money, then you have my permission to die.
But yeah, you have to be very careful.
Sorry, I should have said that more and, difficult to understand.
And don't work for exposure.
Oh, yeah, that's a good
that
goal.
Is people die of exposure.
Yeah.
So I think as a rough rule, I don't work for less than the minimum wage per hour.
Mm.
If you're not, because I don't really like drawing things that aren't my own company. If you can't charge more than the minimum wage for what you do, then you're better off having a regular job and then working on something you like in the meantime while you improve. I think if you have a skill, you can put up your price, and you're probably quite surprised of how much people will pay for good art. If you're starting out sort of coming out of art school level quality art, you should be able to get about at least £20 to £25 an hour.
At the end of the day, if people don't want your work enough to pay you for it, then people don't want your work enough, and you need to shop around and find some better customers. You should never, ever really sell yourself short enough to do something for free. Essentially, if you can't get any work for free, if you can't get any work for money, rather, and the only people that are wanting your work is people who don't want to pay you for it, then either you're not looking in the right places or your work's not quite ready yet, in which case you're better off spending the time not working for free, but working on your work to improve it so that you will
work
get
on your
money.
Own work.
Work on your own stuff rather than working for free.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. And I think that will bring us fully into the digital sector. Now,
before we move off print,
yes,
sorry. Brought up in the chat a mention of selling original art, which kind of ties in with the commissions.
Oh yes, that kind of does.
It's a little bit different. It's, you know, where you draw the page, whatever, you scan it in, and then you still have the physical page, and it's not going anywhere. You have a high quality scan, so some people sell those, and mm-hmm. some people are quite successful with those.
Mm.
Yeah.
No, I think it's essentially like a commission after the fact.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a reverse commission.
An anti commission. If it goes near a proper commission, they explode.
Yes.
Or not.
Yes, dear.
Now the question is, do you sell your original art now? Do you try and sell your original art now? Or do you wait until you are famous and then your early stuff is like, yeah, this is like the original Luke Searle back when it was like really raw? And
personally, if you're waiting for a point to sell something till you're famous, you're going to be waiting a long time.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, if your biggest regret when you become famous, if you do, is that you didn't keep your original art, then you've got a pretty damn good life.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
So if you can get money for something, then, you know, as long as it's not pennies, then go for it. Why not?
Yeah. I think there's Comic Press actually has sort of a button you can install, which is buy the original art of this comic. Or
it does. It's built into it now. You can set up your own rates and everything. And I think the Webcomics plugin, which is the other popular WordPress plugin to do webcomics, also has that as well. That's one that I use nowadays.
I might do that in my next redesign. Get things up. My original art is not that pretty because a lot, like I said, a lot of it it's done on computers as well, but it would be more, if somebody bought my original, it would be more of a souvenir than something to put on the wall.
Top tip for original art, everybody, use the non-photo blue for your pencil lines and don't rub them out, because some people who buy original art really, really love having the pencil marks on there. And for the people that don't love it, they can just rub it off.
Okay, guys, thank you very much for listening. We've split this into two sections so that we don't overload your downloads. So if you come back to the website at webcomics.co, you'll find another podcast where we're talking about making money through digital uses. So thanks very much for listening. This has been the Webcomics Company podcast. We'll see you on the site.
Thank you for listening to the Webcomics Company podcast.